Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because the sons of Sagara Maharaj had offended a great personality, the heat of their bodies had increased, and they were burnt to ashes. But simply by being sprinkled with water from the Ganges, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets. What then is to be said of those who use the water of Mother Ganges to worship her? Purport. Mother Ganges is worshipped by the water of the Ganges. A devotee takes a little water from the Ganges and offers it back to the Ganges. When the devotee takes the water, Mother Ganges does not lose anything, and when the water is offered back, Mother Ganges does not increase. But in this way, the worshipper of the Ganges is benefited. Similarly, a devotee offers the Lord patram pushpam palam toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, in great devotion. But everything, including the leaf, flower, fruit, and water, belongs to the Lord, and therefore there is nothing to renounce or to accept. One must simply take advantage of the bhakti process, because by following this process, one does not lose anything, but one gains the favor of the Supreme Person. Yaj jala sparshamatrena brahma danda hata api sagaratma jadivyam divyam jagmu kevalam dehabasmabihi. Because the sons of Sagara Maharaj had offended a great personality, the heat of their bodies had increased, and they were burnt to ashes. But simply by being sprinkled with water from the Ganges, all of them became eligible to go to the heavenly planets. What then is to be said of those who use the water of Mother Ganges to worship her? So these were the sons of Sagara. They had a mission for their father. It was a proper mission. It was their service to recover the sacrificial horse. So the mission, the aim was proper, but there was something wrong with their mood. They didn't have the right mentality. So when they found the horse in the ashram of Kapila, they felt very angry. Oh, now we have found the thief. A good example of imperfect senses. And because they had this mood toward Kapila, now we have found the thief. It burnt up their own bodies. They weren't able to hurt Kapila. They hurt only themselves. Brahma danda hata. So danda means, what's a danda? A stick. Hataha means to destroy, to kill. And Brahma here, in the word for word, Prabhupada is identifying Brahma as the self. And in the translation, he identifies it as a great personality. So ultimately, they were hurting themselves. And therefore, they suffered. And for a long time, they were not able to move forward. They weren't able to transmigrate. Their bodies were there in the form of ashes, and they were stuck for a very long time, several generations, until here Bhagiratha was able to have the Ganges come and take them. Then their soul and their subtle body was able to go to the heavenly planets. So this is very instructive, this Brahma Dandahata, that Srila Prabhupada explained several times, that we really cannot hurt anybody else. The only person we can hurt is ourselves. Even when we offend a great personality, really we are only hurting ourselves. And of course nobody can hurt us. So this is really basic Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. The soul cannot be harmed. It's not possible for anyone to harm us. Even in the sense of karma, it's not possible for anyone to do any harm to us that's not already decreed by our own karma. If that were true, then others would be more powerful than God. Isn't that correct? If someone could hurt me in a way that I wasn't destined to be hurt anyway, then that person would be able to be above the laws of the universe and to be above the laws of God. If somebody wants to harm me, at best they can be an agent of something I'm already due to receive. It's like if I've ordered something from some company, so various persons could be the agent to deliver it. But I'm the one who ordered it. I'm the one who paid for it. The person delivering it is simply incidental. I mean, I could thank the delivery man if he delivers something that I like, but the delivery man is not the cause of what comes to me. What's the cause of what comes to me? The living entity is responsible, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for their own suffering and their own enjoyment. So whatever other people do to me, good or bad, I'm really doing to myself. And whatever I do to others, good or bad, frankly, I'm also doing to myself. Because if I do good to others, it comes back to me. And if I do harm to others, it comes back to me. And I can't really do good or harm to anybody other than their own destiny. I can't do good to you other than your destiny, and I can't do harm to you other than your destiny. I don't have that power. So everything that we're suffering or enjoying, we are creating that. We are creating that. They're thinking, I'm harming Kapila, but they're harming themselves. And because Kapila, of course, is an incarnation, but it's not his, he's not meant to be harmed. Therefore, he experiences no harm. And we have this experience also. Somebody may try to do good for us, and it may not work. Yes? Yes? They may not be able to do it. Just like a couple days ago, some devotees wanted to do something for me. And we were going to meet them, and we got stuck in traffic. There wasn't even traffic. I mean, traffic doesn't even explain what we were in. You know, in like 2.5 hours, I think we had moved 20 yards. And we were surrounded by buses on all sides. In front, behind, on the sides, bus after. We were the only little car in all of these buses. We simply could not move. It was as if somebody had, you know, shackled us there. And we even estimated that if I got out of the car and took the tube and went there, that it would be too late to do anything and so forth. So although they wanted to offer something, I couldn't go and receive it. I was blocked. I couldn't get what they wanted to give me. And we have the example also of bad things. Somebody may want to hurt you, and it has no effect. Everybody has this experience. So I'm going to do this, and they just can't do anything. So whether or not somebody does good for us or whether or not somebody does ill for us, it's not in our hands, right? We don't have the power to hurt or help anyone, and nor does anyone have the power to help or hurt us. We are the architects of our own fortune. I was just hearing this morning. Prabhupada was talking about nectar devotion, and he's talking about the verse, Pramanya Bharate Kanya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lakta Bija. The Bhagavan Jeev, what makes a soul fortunate enough to get bhakti? And he's saying what gives you fortune is a Gyata Sukriti, where you do unknowing service. But he says you're creating your own fortune. No one else is creating your fortune. He says man is the architect of his own fortune. So we are really, this is what we have the power to do. We are really the deciders of our own fortune, materially and spiritually. Materially and spiritually. We can say, well, it's the mercy of the devotees, it's the mercy of God, but that mercy is always available. It's always available, just like the sunshine. The sun is shining on everybody on the planet. You know, you can decide to go out of your house or not. That's your choice. Right? We serve prasadam here at a particular time. You can choose to go and get it, or you can stay in your room. You know, but it's being made available. So the mercy is there. Krishna's mercy is factually always there for the living entity. Krishna never withdraws his mercy from the living entity. That's not possible. It's always there. Also in these lectures on nectar devotion, and one of them, Prabhupada was saying that mercy is available 24 hours to everybody. It's just a question of whether or not we want to receive it. So we are the architects of our own fortune. We decide materially what modes of nature we want to be under, which then brings us our good and bad reactions. We decide how much we want to accept Krishna's mercy, how much we want to accept the instructions of Guru. And everything we give to others, we are really giving to ourselves. Just like here, it's even saying everything we give to God, we're really giving to ourselves. Yes? Just like the Ganges water is used to worship the Ganges, and Prabhupada's making the point here, the Ganges neither decreases nor increases. You benefit. So when we give Krishna flowers, as Prabhupada's giving that example here, Patram Pushpam Palam Tayam, when we're giving Krishna flowers, it's already his flowers. You know, it's already his flowers. We're not giving him something that's ours. I remember one time at an airport, I saw one woman rushing in front of me, and she dropped her credit cards on the floor. She didn't see it, and she just kept going, you know. So I jumped up, and I got there. I had to race, because she was racing. I had to race through the airport. But I'm giving her what's hers, yes? I'm not giving her something that's mine. I'm giving to her what's hers. And everything we're giving to Krishna, it's his. He's not benefiting. He's not harming. You know, if I so-called use the flower for myself, he hasn't lost anything. So really, everything I'm doing is doing for myself. And here we have the reason why we should not become angry at others. why we should not harm others, why we should not be envious of others. Because when we do, we're really destroying ourselves. We're really destroying ourselves. And it's fascinating that we so much tend to blame others for our misfortune, and we so much tend to want to punish others for our misfortune. One devotee just a couple days ago here was explaining this to me so wonderfully. She said, when we do something wrong, we have a natural feeling of guilt and shame and remorse in our heart. We have some feeling of pain and difficulty. And when we feel that pain, instead of using that pain as an impetus to change, what we do is we blame somebody else in our environment. You know, we lash out at somebody in our environment. Oh, you've done this and you've done that and you've done this. You know, it's the fault of the government. It's the fault of the temple authorities. It's the fault of my spouse. It's the fault of my mother or whatever. You know, and we're taking this pain that we feel inside and we're externalizing it. Or ultimately, it's the fault of God. It's the fault of God, it's the fault of another living entity, it's the fault of nature. And the materialistic person is constantly trying to punish and subdue nature, just like we read about in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I will defeat God, I will defeat other living entities, I will defeat nature, and then I will feel happy within. But they don't realize that all of the pain we are feeling within, we are causing ourselves by doing the wrong thing. It's just pretty much that simple. So if we want to be free from suffering, if we want to be free from suffering, we need to choose to be aligned with truth. It's such a simple thing. I mean, it's just so, it's not complicated. We have to choose to do the right thing. And when we do the right thing, we are happy. When we do the wrong thing, we are unhappy. And it is completely in our hands. And all of the pain and all of our suffering is due to doing the wrong thing. It's not anyone's fault. It's not God's fault. It's not any other jiva's fault. It's not nature's fault. It's not the fact that we're in the material world. It's not the fact that we're in Kali Yuga. It's nothing other than our own choice. And we're the ones, you know, burning up our own bodies, so to speak. We're the one lighting a fire in our own house. Although the connection for us is not obvious. You know, it seems to us that we're a victim. Just like Arjuna asked that of Krishna in the third chapter. He said, it seems that I'm a victim. It seems that I'm being forced against my will to do something wrong. It seems that my misfortune is coming to me against my will. And Krishna says, no, it's your own desire to try to enjoy the world. It's your own lust. It's your own misalignment with truth. So when we become realigned with the truth, when we act again properly, then our suffering gradually decreases. Generally, it's gradual. Generally, it's gradual. Like if a person has taken some intoxicant and then they decide they want to stop taking the intoxicants. It usually takes some time for the effect to wear off, isn't it? If you've been eating the wrong kind of food and you say, now I'm going to eat the right kind of food, usually it takes some time for the effect to be out of your body. Isn't that a fact? It's generally not immediate. Prabhupada gives the example of a fan. You unplug the fan, but the blades, there's still some motion there. So it can be immediate, it's possible, but generally it's not like that. Generally one decides, I will align myself with the truth. I will do what's really in my best interest. Prabhupada talks about our real self-interest. And that is to give myself to Krishna and to give everything to Krishna and to bathe myself in the water of the association of the devotees, like who are like the Ganges, who have come from the toe of the lotus feet of the Lord, who have been resting on the head of Lord Shiva. To take the association of those who are aligned with the truth, to hear from them, to serve them, to become like them, to be inspired by them, and like them, to give everything to the Lord instead of for myself. And that's really all. That's really the beginning, middle, and end of Krishna consciousness. My suffering is because I'm unaligned, and my happiness is because I am aligned, and this is my choice, and it's my choice at every moment. And anytime I become angry at others or dissatisfied with others or I blame others, then I am in illusion. All of my suffering is a little indicator light that I need to realign myself, that I am the one, Brahma Dandahatya. I am like taking a big danda, a big stick, and just beating myself on the head with it. And then complaining, you know, someone else is hurting me, someone else is hurting me, someone else is hurting me. And I have nothing more to say. So if there's any questions or comments, yes.